Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Donna DeSilva and Teresa Leipscher. They have an organization that is not going after symptoms. What are symptoms? Symptoms may be your physical illness. Symptoms may be cancer. Symptoms may be pain. It may be anger, anxiety, or addictions of any kind. Rather than going after symptoms, Donna, what do you go after?
We actually look for the wounds and the lies in people's lives that keep them bound. A lot of ministries in the world try to get us to live okay. And we want to go beyond okay. We want to go into the supernatural and find out, why am I living below what I know I'm destined to live?
And Teresa, the name of your organization is called SOZO, under Bethel Church in Redding, California. What does SOZO mean?
SOZO is a Greek word that is used 110 times in the New Testament, and it has the package of being saved, healed, and delivered. There's much more the Lord wants for us than just salvation. He wants us to have a whole package to where we can find our identity, we can find our destiny, to where He's called us. And it's a fascinating word study for people who want to do a word study.
You know, Teresa, I'm wondering about the giftings every time I interview people. I know that the two of you have giftings that complement each other. I understand you walk in a gifting of discernment. How does that operate?
Well, I can pick up things and see things and feel things, and in using that, I'm able to minister to people, so that a lot of times, if they're having a hard time actually discerning how they're feeling or discerning what they're seeing and understanding what's going on, I can kind of come in and say, well, you know, what about this? Or I'm kind of feeling this. Is this something that you've got going on? And so, and then she can go in and say, you know, like, she sees these pictures and she sees this kind of stuff. So we kind of work together as a team and kind of surround people and attack them from all areas.
Now, Donna, you told me a secret about yourself. You told me that God said that when you lay your hands on people and pray for them, what happens?
He told me about 8 years ago that whomever I touched would be made well. And He told me before we studied SOZO, He said spiritually, physically, and mentally.
And why are you two doing this? I mean, you've got a family, I know, and you've got more than on your plate. Why? Why? I mean, you're away from your family. You're running all over the country nonstop. I happen to be at one of your meetings, and it goes on to late hours. Why are you doing this?
The Lord really gave me a charge, and in the same amount of time when He was telling me about the destiny, He was telling me that in scripture, where the 12 tribes were going to go into the promised land, there were two that got to have their land before they crossed over. And I felt like the Lord told me, you have entered your promised land. You've been healed. Now you go and fight for your brothers and sisters to enter their promised land. And there was a real charge on that. They were not allowed to rest until their brothers and sisters possessed their land. And I am so into walking into that land, harassing the enemy and replacing him with people that walk in their destinies.
It's very important for people to walk in their destiny. If you had not been set free, would you be walking in your destiny?
No, definitely not.
Teresa, how about you?
Oh, no.
You'd be a believer, you'd love God, but you would
but
miss.
But it'd be very bland and boring, because it's so much fun just to watch Him work and watch Him do what He does.
How do you feel when people get free? I mean, it's a lot of work, but how do you feel when you see that freedom?
We get jazzed. We get wired. You know, like you say, sometimes our evening meetings go really late, and we're not ready for bed because we're just so jazzed and so excited, and it's so much fun.
Tell me about one person you, and I'll use your word, you SOZO'd.
He SOZO'd. One out of many. We have so many people who come into the sessions with us and are so scared that we're going to find all this sin, and they're so scared that we're going to point out all the things that's wrong with them. And when we walk in there and we say, this is the roots, and they come out and they find that that fear doesn't bind them anymore, or that they're not controlled by everybody else, that they can walk in this destiny of being who they are. We have so many people that, like I say, that walk in and just are afraid of everything. And then when they get free of all the roots, they get connected to Father God, and they find out that He's gonna take care of them, He's gonna protect them. They walk out there, and it's just like this burden is lifted off of them. We hear all the time that people are lighter. So it's just, it's really interesting to watch people walk in and then walk out.
Now, one of the things that I think is fascinating is the tools that you have, and you call them tools, and they're obviously very effective, and I've not heard this completely before. I've heard portions of this before, but there's something you call the Father Ladder. Explain that.
The Father Ladder is a tool that can be used in couple of different ways, but it's basically a tool that goes in and helps us find the roots of problems, because the grid we have as children growing up in a family, that's how the grid that we get connected to the Godhead, because they all have their little separate roles in our lives. And when we have these wounds and lies that come about because of our family life structure, then we have a harder time connecting to the Godhead.
So what you're saying is we relate to God the Father, Yeshua or Jesus, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit based on our mother, father, and
siblings and friends.
And when did you realize this connection? It's an amazing, it's a phenomenal connection.
Well, one of the things that we kind of noticed is we started doing things in the sessions, and then we would go hear a speaker or hear a pastor, and he would be explaining the same kind of thing. And that's what happened in the Father Ladder. One of the pastors on our church staff started teaching a Sunday school, and in the midst of this Sunday school, he would wink and he would look over and wink at us and go, "You girls are doing this." And all of a sudden it realized, it gave a structure to what we had already started doing.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about this. And the thing that's so amazing about these tools, as they explain it, you are going to be getting freer and freer. Don't go away. Be right back after this.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Donna DeSilva and Teresa Leibscher. And these two women have an organization called SOZO that people are being set free of lifetime chronic problems. Why should someone want to be set free that's already a child of God and going to go to heaven? Because you want to take a lot more people with you. And there's a destiny. And it's as if the devil knew that destiny ahead of time and just spun a little web so that you can't reach it. And you need a little bit of help to get free. And that's why the Messiah came. Now, what you explain is your perception of your earthly father, your earthly mother, your siblings and friends all have a connection with your perception of the Godhead, of Father God, of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus. Explain.
Well, one way we like to look at it is we tell people to read your Bible, and why is it that we can all read the same scripture, but it means different things to us? And we tell them, find out in scripture what you don't believe, and you're going to find the wounds that you got in childhood change your perception. For example, God is a provider, but if you lived in a home where dad didn't provide.
So your perception of God is based on your father.
It is based on your father.
Okay.
And as you go through the ladder, Jesus is based on siblings and friends, and the Holy Spirit is based on your mom.
So give me an example of someone that perhaps had a problem with their earthly father, which reflected on a problem with God.
Yes, we had this huge biker guy, and he came in, and we were done with the seminar, and he'd been through it all. And he hadn't actually been SOZO'd, but he'd been listening to the tools, and he came up and he was actually what we call our catcher. He was standing behind the woman in case she fell, and I'm praying for her, and he starts to cry So when I'm done with her, I pull him aside and I said, what's going on? And he said, I got the Jesus thing. I got the Holy Spirit issue. He says, but this Father God stuff, I just don't get. And I said, well, was Jesus safe? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, Jesus. I said, close your eyes. I said, Jesus. He goes, Jesus. I said, would you bring Father God? And he went like this and jerked. And I said to him, Father God is not going to hit you. And he fell to the floor and just this anguish coming out of him. And I said, what's going on? And he said, he's holding me.
This is a biker?
A big biker, tattoos, the whole thing. And he had not known a safe Father God.
It's, okay, what about the Holy Spirit?
Well, in my life, when I started this whole Bethel church experience, it was very interesting because I didn't understand that the block I was having to the Holy Spirit's moving in my life was the fact that I didn't have a good relationship with my mom, that there was a block with my mom. And so I actually started with, thank you, Father God, for creating the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my sins. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for whatever it is you do. I mean, there was no relationship, and it really came from the wounds of not connecting to my mom.
And a lot of people have an intellectual relationship, but not an experiential relationship. And they just think, well, that's the way I'm built. What would you say to them?
I would say hang in there, just push through, because it took a couple years of me standing on a line while everyone around us is falling on the prayer lines and just pressing in and breaking through and just saying there's got to be more. There has to be more than mediocre Christianity.
And Teresa, what about Jesus?
I was ministering to a young man once, and it's really kind of strange because we normally think, well, since he's my Savior, I can have this instant connection with him. But a lot of times we have a hard time having him be our companion. And because like in childhood, either we're an older sibling or younger sibling, and one of those other, you know, I got put in a place where I was having to control younger siblings or I was being controlled by a sibling. And so it's hard to connect with Jesus in that fact, because why do I want Jesus to come? Because he's just going to send me to Africa, you know, and that's just the last place I want to go. So why would I want to have this connection with him? But I was ministering to this young man, and he was kind of in the same spot. He was really having a hard time. And so we went in and found out the lie, you know, that he was so afraid because he was an older sibling that Jesus was going to walk in and say, I want you to do this like parents do. You're going to do this no matter what I want for you, and no matter what you want for yourself, this is what you're going to do. And he really had a hard time with that. And we broke that lie off, renounced the fact that Jesus was going to treat him the same way. And then he got a picture of Jesus sitting in front of the television set watching football with him, eating popcorn and Coke. And he got that connection with Jesus, and he was comfortable with him after that point.
Now, what happens if you're helping people and they don't have visions? What do you do?
You don't have to see to have this ministry work. We ask people, how do you sense God? Do you sense him? Do you hear him? Do you see him? We use all of the perceptions. For us, we see. And so a lot of times we say, what do you see? But most people will, even when they say, we went to Germany and they were like, oh, no, we don't see. Well, let's just go in there. Oh, my gosh, I see Jesus.
And one of the things that intrigues me is the exact nature of the questions you ask to realize, well, for instance, you know if someone has a father issue by a question. What's the question?
Picture Father God and tell me what you see.
Or what you sense.
Or what you sense. And by what they tell me.
Tell me something someone might say.
Well, a lot of people, believe it or not, say, well, it's kind of like Abe Lincoln,
the statue,
and the memorial and the statue, and I just see him there, and he's big, I'm down here, and that tells us right away. We just start with, you know, repeat after me, I forgive my dad for being cold and distant.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, it's Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Donna DeSilva and Teresa Leapshire. And Donna, there are some people that in just a short period of time, you have literally, God has used you to change their destiny. There are certain tools that you operate with, and I'm intrigued by all of these tools. Tell me one and give me an example.
One of my favorite tools is presenting Jesus. And basically, it's where's Jesus in the situation? One of the most healing aspects of memories is finding that God was there, that He was available, that He was helping, that He's just not sitting on the throne like we had done earlier. In that aspect, we find out what's the wound that happened, what's the lie, and what's the truth of the situation.
Give me an example of someone.
One of my favorite examples was a young man from Mexico. We went to an orphanage, and he pulled us aside, and he said, you know, he was 18 years old. He'd been at the orphanage since he was very young, and he was in leadership now. And he had said, you know, there's one rule at this orphanage. If you're caught molesting another child, you're gone. You're out on the street. That's really the only unpardonable rule. And he said, you know, I haven't done that, but I've always feared that I would.
How did he have the confidence to even, or the boldness to even tell you this?
Well, when you get to know us, we really are gentle. We're very kind. And I guess he just decided it's worth trusting.
Now, this is, as you phrase it, a gentle form of deliverance. Do people scream and, and manifest all sorts of demons when you pray
for
them?
We hope not. If it does happen, you know, we've had situations where we've had to calm people down, but we've come into
What's
that
the
situation.
Norm?
The norm is you come in for a session with us, and so you're normal and you're fine, and we're just like we are here.
But when you go looking for wounds and lies, and you don't necessarily, you don't have to confront the demonic, but that you go for the roots and you go for the wounds and the lies. And that's what a lot of people have said has been that much more kind of gentle way of doing it, because it's honoring somebody and loving on them where they're exactly where they're at.
Okay, so this 18-year-old, you have his confidence, he's opening up, he's having these thoughts, he just doesn't know what to do about it. Did he consider not helping in the orphanage?
He was like, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to touch the children. I'm just afraid. And we talked earlier about destiny. And we said, okay, would you mind coming through this with us? We set him in the chair. We had him start working through the memories. And we said, okay, Jesus, where did this fear come in? And he says, well, I got to tell you, he said, the demon that was on me left 4 years ago when this man came from Alcoholics Anonymous and prayed the demon off me. So the drive to molest the children is gone. He said, but I just have the fear left. I said, okay, all right, we can do that. So we go back. Where did this come in? And the Lord took him to a memory where he was about 4 and he had begun to molest his sisters and the neighborhood children. And we said, where's Jesus? And Jesus showed up right in the midst of this. I mean, that's mind-boggling that that's true, but God was there. And he said, what's the lie that I'm believing? And he said that I'm evil. Well, Jesus, what's the truth? And this guy he was just crying. I said, okay, what's the truth? That I'm not evil. And bam, he's set free from the
fear.
Now,
wait a second. Now, he should know this.
We don't know this. That's why we're in ministry.
People don't.
They don't know this. We know it here, but we don't know it in where it counts. We don't know that it's truth. We don't know inside that. I mean, you know, the enemy lies to us too. And every time he'd go to touch one of the boys, the enemy would be saying, what do you want?
So what happened after you prayed for him?
Oh, he was so set free. And we began to prophesy over him, his destiny, and he's really a pastor. I mean, his heart is pastoral.
So he would have never even entertained being a pastor if he hadn't been set free.
No, because he needed to draw them in, and he couldn't draw them in because he couldn't touch them. What do I want from them?
Speaking of pastors, you told me about another pastor that had been involved in, I believe it was pornography for how many years?
It was at least 25 years, and I'm thinking more 30 in the story. But we actually went to a ministry, and he came, and he said, you know, you're my last hope. Either this works, or I'm out of the ministry. And we're like, okay, well, we know God works, so come on in. And we set him down, and we actually took a little while to find out where this came from. And again, we're not looking for sin. Like Teresa said, we're looking for the wounds and the lies. So I didn't ask
him. But the norm is, what is your sin? Pornography.
Right. I didn't ask him that.
So we will just pray a spirit of pornography off the person. You're fine. Goodbye.
Exactly.
And they're not fine.
It's not fine because there's a reason why you picked up that sin. So we got to find out why you picked it up. So we found out, okay, we took him, where did this come in? And it was bizarre. The Lord took him to when his father died. And he was hauling, he was 10 or 12 at the time. He's hauling these 50-pound sacks of feed. And he's like shouldering it all alone. And we asked him, Jesus, where were you? And he saw Jesus shouldering it and taking the weight off of him. And the lie was, I'm alone. And the truth was, Jesus is there with me. Now, how that does with pornography, you and I would not mentally be able to figure that out.
I'm thinking that right now.
How do you do that? And what happened was every time someone came up to him and made him feel alone, he went to comfort through pornography.
What did he say before you started about his condition?
Help.
But I thought you had said, he said, I've tried everything. This is my last.
I've tried everything. This is my last hope. Yeah.
It's sad.
But at the end of it, he said what?
Oh, and at the end of it, he goes, oh, he just sat back and goes, it's going to be a fair fight. He said, the enemy's still going to talk to me. Pornography's still going to be in front, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. He says, but it's a fair fight. When I get to the place where I feel alone, where I feel like I'm the only one holding on here, I don't have to pick that up. It's not my friend. Jesus is right here with me shouldering the weight, and it'll be a fair fight.
Teresa, very quickly, tell me what doors you have found that cause access by evil spirits.
We have the tool, the four doors, and they're hatred, fear, occult, and sexual sin. And pretty much everything that we deal with the wounds and the lies, can come through those four doors.
For instance, the two examples that Donna was using were sexual sins. And what I'm wondering is the way our internet is, the way our media is, at my office, they're just minding their own business, and something with pornography will pop up, having nothing to do with the person on doing their work. It's unsolicited.
You don't have to solicit it anymore.
And it just pops up. So, I mean, what is going on with people that aren't free?
Yeah. And because it really is a very comforting thing to do, because it really meets so many of the needs that we have. And so having people understand that that's a door open, and that the Lord can come in and close that door, can come and meet those needs that you have, and He's the one that can be the answer for it. It is a fair fight. You can close the doors. You can seal it with the blood of Jesus, and you can achieve your destiny. You can become have that close relationship with each one of the Godhead.
And that's Did you hear that? It is a fair fight. How would you like to be able to say that? Some of the tools that we've just talked about in this interview, you can grab hold of. It doesn't take much. All it takes is a crumb of God's Word. And I say, in Jesus' name, you will fulfill your destiny. I say in Jesus' name, it will be a fair fight. I say in Jesus' name, hopelessness, go. New hope, new excitement. Don't look back, look forward. And when you look forward, look at Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures lately has been about King David. This was before Jesus died and rose from the dead. And he said, I behold the Lord always at my right hand. How could he be afraid of anything? You can behold the Lord always at your right hand. Make him your Lord. Repent of your sins. Believe the blood has set you free.